hurry up. All right. Read from the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Bible says, therefore, everybody say, therefore. Now, that means no, you're right on track. Praise the Lord. Bible says, therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whatever he does, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are mighty in this place, Lord. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you would come and meet us here, Lord. Lord, that there would be an exuberance, Lord, as we have heard, Lord, that we would hear from your lips, Lord, a message for our hearts, Lord. Lord, that choices that we make, the challenges that we see, Lord, that we would pursue you in all of them, Lord, that we'd experience your power, your anointing, and your calling, Lord, and that some of us might indeed be called to the Middle East. But we know that each one is called to our homes, Lord. Each one is called to our schools. Each one is called to our friends and our family, Lord, to bring your message, Lord, to have an anointing, the country, to have a message for the hope that we have. And if you have no hope this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing you a message of hope that you might leave here with a spring in your step. Amen. And hope in your heart. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, challenges to victory. Daniel chapter 7. Choices. We all make choices. You guys got up this morning, made a choice. Come to church. Good choice. We make that choice a lot in our home. Joe making some choices. Joe's 14 years old. He had a $25 Walmart card. Decided he needed to get the Iron Gym. Get strong, get ripped quick. And what this is, it's a total upper body workout bar. And you guys seen that on TV? You know, seen this kind of stuff? How many of you guys have ever bought something like this? You know, exercise thing, you know, something like that. How many of you have bought that thing and it just stays in the box? You know what I'm talking about? Joe got this thing and immediately unwrapped that box and put this thing together. And you know what he does is it hangs on the door jamb like this, okay? So this goes on the top and it gets all braced up in there. It's very secure. And what it does is you're walking around the house, right? And here's this thing saying, Joe, pull up time. Joe, time to work out. And you know what? Calls out to the rest of us as well. Here's an opportunity for you. Joe's making good choices. Joe got up there. He does pull-ups in school. He jumped on that thing. Bam! Knocked out like 10 of them. No problem. Later, walking by, boom! Popped out another 10. And guess what he did? Hey, Dad, how many do you think you could do? Said, I don't know. I gotta check this out. Da, 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 da. I did 2. You can tell who's making good choices in our home. As far as pull-ups go, Joe's making good choices. My pull-up choices are not as good as his. Talk to you today about choices. We all make choices. Sometimes they're big choices. Big choices that represent the massive challenges that come, that we face in our lives. Sometimes they're small choices. But everybody makes choices. Now, what I have found out in my life is that the small choices set you up for the big choices. You know what I'm talking about? You're making good little choices, and you will make better big choices. Why is that? Because it is the small choices that set the patterns of our life. And you have a good pattern. You have a good foundation. Your choices will give you a good foundation. You come here this morning, you can establish a foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Spend some time in this book. You can establish a foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ, which will transform your pattern, and you will be able to move through the great challenges of your life. Amen? Taking a look in the book of Daniel, our series, Victory in the Midst of Defeat. And we look at the book of Daniel. We look at Daniel chapter 3. We see choices, but all of Daniel is a message of the greatness of God. It comes through mightily in each chapter as we read that. God is sending a message to his people. God is revealing himself to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is revealing himself to his people that have been cast out of Jerusalem, that are cast into captivity in Babylon, taken as slaves. God is sending a message to the king of Babylon. He's sending a message to Nebuchadnezzar. We go back to chapter 2. God's been working on Nebuchadnezzar. And the message comes through in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that was so troubling. And as Daniel is able to interpret the dream, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel are on their knees all night in prayer saying, Lord, they're going to kill us. They're going to chop our heads off. We need this interpretation, Lord, that only you can do. And the interpretation comes. And they bring the interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar's response to the interpretation from God. The king said to Daniel, surely, surely, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mystery. For you were able to reveal this mystery. Nebuchadnezzar is getting the message. We know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are getting the message. How do we know? Because we can see it in the choices that they make. Nebuchadnezzar is getting the message, but it's not quite getting through. He's not quite able to adjust his priorities to the God of gods and the Lord of kings. How do we know? We can tell by the choices that he makes. He made the choice to make a 90-foot high idol, 9 feet wide, and covered it with gold. If he had figured out who the Lord of Kings truly was, it would have never gone up. Amen? Big choices, little choices. Good choices, bad choices. We all make choices. The Lord wants you to make good ones. The Lord wants you to establish a foundation. The Lord is calling us through challenges to victory. Amen? Some of you are experiencing incredible victory in your life. Some of you are sitting in that chair right now just going, huh! You're like, Joe, how many pull-ups can you do, Dad? I've been pumping away all day. I'm feeling good. Some of you are feeling like that right now in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you are not. Some of you are thinking, man, my choices have not been good. I can see it. My challenges have not led to victory. My choices have not led to victory. We're going to talk about that today. Anybody interested in that? Anybody else interested in that? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Number one, Nebuchadnezzar is moving towards unity. He's got all these people. Let's just read. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high, 90 feet wide. Set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. That's in Iraq, modern-day Iraq. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. This is a meeting with a purpose. Nebuchadnezzar is not dumb. Nebuchadnezzar is working on his whole government hierarchy. And he builds this giant 90-foot tall image of gold. We don't know what it was. Could have just been a square block tower. We don't know what it was. But we do know it was 9 feet wide, 90 feet high. Actually, 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide. Don't know what it was. Covered in gold leaf, I got to imagine it was fairly impressive. And he calls all those leaders, all the leaders of his government together with a purpose in mind. All the officials, and he had taken them from the nations that he had conquered. Defeated Egypt, defeated Palestine, Assyria, all these, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Amorites, all those people, all been defeated. And he had taken all the best of all those cultures and he took them back to Babylon to be trained. And he's trying to assimilate them. It was a project of assimilation. Verse 4 says, the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O Babylonians." No, it doesn't say Babylonians. It says, "O peoples, nations, and men of every language." All the leaders of his government spread out all over the conquered territories that he had were all leaders from those governments. And he wanted to assimilate them and make them into Babylonians. And so he trained them right into the palace. He brought them right into his house. And remember back in verse 1, in chapter 1, one of the first things he did was give them new names. It's like, "We're not going to call you Enrique." What's Enrique in English? Ricky?
Henry.
"We're going to call you Henry." He gives them new names. "I don't want to have to deal with your Jewish names. I don't want to deal with your Assyrian names. I don't want to deal with your Moabite names. I'm going to give you new names. I'm going to give you new food." Probably gave them new clothing. "I'm going to have you talking and looking and acting and living like Babylonians." New name, new food. And today, because we're just going to be unified, I'm going to give you a new God. It was a meeting with a purpose. Continues on. "As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship." We're out in the desert, folks. You guys have all seen pictures of Iraq, our guys running through with Humvees and all kinds of stuff. Out in the plains of Dura, 90-foot tall image of gold. Big old furnace blazing beside it. Plains filled with a band. And all the leaders of the government. As soon as the band kicks up, everybody bows down. "Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." We just need to put our differences aside. Hear people talk about that today? You know, we just need to just get along. And some of that stuff that you find so important isn't really all that important. You can just lay that stuff aside. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is somewhat of a religious man. His name, Nebuchadnezzar, means Nabo, his God. "Nabo, bless my son. Nabo, protect my son." And it's pretty easy to see a focus here. Every time somebody calling you, it'd be like, instead of calling him Belteshazzar, I would call him Jehovahzar. You know, every time somebody talked to him, it would be a reminder of his God. And every time somebody called King Nebuchadnezzar, it would be a reminder of his God. And that's the God who he worshipped. Have you guys ever heard of the God Nabo? Well, guess what? He is the son of the god Marduk. Now, that can be rather confusing, right? Because if it was me, I want to worship the most powerful god there is. So do I worship Nabo, or do I worship his father, Marduk? And you know what? There was all kinds of god in Babylon. You know, they had gods for this and gods for that and all that kind of stuff. And they would take the conquered god stuff and put it into the storehouse of their god and just kind of add them all in. And God to them was not that big of a deal. So it shouldn't be a big deal for you to just lay yours aside and join up. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was looking for. All part of the program. A new name, a new place, new food, and a new God. And for some, it was probably not a big deal. I bet there was a bunch of Jews out there that were bowing down. They had taken the new names, had no problem with it. They had wore the new clothes, they had no problem. They had taken the food and said, you know what, God probably has no problem with this because now we're in Babylon. He knows what we're up against. And all this bowing thing down to this image of gold, no big deal. God is just going to understand. And because they did not resist, they never experienced the greatness of God. They had a puny God that didn't care about anything, and that is the God that they experienced. Puny God that didn't care about anything, didn't care about them. But Daniel is the story of the greatness of God. Amen? You know what? You can ask some folks around here about the greatness of God. Wednesday night, two people experienced firsthand the greatness of God. Thomas and Addie taught their first classes. You might, not much. Not much of a big deal, you know. Small group, maybe four, five, six people. On Wednesday night, we split up into groups, and it was quite small. Maybe the Lord just had mercy upon them. Timothy taught too, but Timothy's taught before. But Thomas, never. And Natty, never. And I asked them, how'd it go? I asked them separately, how did it go? And Natty said, I was ready to cry. I was walking around, and she said, because I'm walking around just kind of checking on them, you know, and I come walking up to her, and she goes, you get out of here. And she said, at that point, she was ready to cry until she saw me and ordered me away. And then she said the most incredible thing. She said, then I experienced the power. And I asked Thomas, I said, how did it go? He goes, well, it started off shaky. And he said almost the exact same thing. But then I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. You felt that, right? Would it change you? Natty, would it change you? So I tell you what, folks, that's how come a 24-year-old girl can be preparing to go to Saudi Arabia or go to Middle East, wherever she's going. Because why? She has experienced the power of the Almighty God in her life. She says, you know what? Wherever you call me God, that is good. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they experienced the power of God. They said, Lord, we are lined up on you. We are anchored on you, Lord. And ain't no way we're bowing down to a 90-foot image of gold. We don't care what the penalty is. Are you guys following me on this now? So you want to experience the power of God, you got to step out someplace where you're going to need it. Amen? All right. Point number two. God would have us choose the truth. He said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? No one comes to the Father except for me. God would have us choose the truth. There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. And I'll tell you what, the truth is going to require that you reject the lie. And I'll tell you what, we got lies all around us. Can I get a witness on that? Amen? And the enemy will sow it, your friends will sow it, your family will sow it, and it's a lie from the pit. You can worship here, you can bend down, God's going to forgive you. God's going God has said, there's some things I don't want you doing. Idolatry is one. In fact, idolatry is a biggie. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. Lord speaking, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. God is not fond of idolatry. Amen? It is a big deal. He says, I am the Lord who brought you out of slavery. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And because I brought you out of slavery, I have a claim upon you. And you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not misuse my name. You shall not misuse my name. You shall honor your father and your mother. He says, I don't want you to murder. He says, I don't want you to have sex with anybody that you're not married to. I don't want you to steal. I don't want you to lie. And I don't want you to covet. These are some things that I will not tolerate. Do you do them anyway? Yeah. Old Testament. Yeah. My God is a forgiving God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He'll let me by. I just got to get by. Not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nah, we're not going to have that food. Nah, we're not going to bend down to that idol. Just a name, just some food. We rationalize it too. Just trying to get by, just trying to have some fun. Everybody else is doing it. God will let me slide. Children of Israel thought that way. Start off with little choices, chipping away at the foundation. God put them in, took them out of Egypt, out of slavery, delivered them to the promised land, started chipping away, making poor choices, little choices, ended up to big choices, bigger choices, great challenges. Until finally, God was so fed up with their lives. He had to send them a message, and the message he sent them was taking the king of Babylon, bringing them to lay siege to Jerusalem, destroying Jerusalem, and destroying the very temple that was built to worship him. That'll send a message. Can I get a witness on that? You know, some of you guys, I got that message in my life. My life was crumbling. Some of you, your lives have been crumbling. You saw your life crumbling, and the Lord began to turn to the Lord and begin to put it back together. Can I get a witness that that's happening in your life? Amen. We've got people that are experiencing the power of God. Maybe you come in here today and your life is broken. The Lord's saying, I'm sending you a message. Are you getting it? Are you hearing me? Truth requires that you reject the lie. Some of us are not. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Because they rejected the lie, they had an anchor in their life. God was their anchor. My question for you this morning is, do you have an anchor in your life? Do your choices reflect him? If you are uncertain, ask somebody. But if you're uncertain, I'm almost certain that you don't have an anchor in your life. Second point, we get opportunities to shine. You know who I think is shining right now? Sandra, downstairs, she's shining. Anytime you rely upon the Lord, step out of your strength, step into his strength, you're going to shine. Amen? Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is this true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That you don't serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I set up. And you know what? I don't even think it was close. He says, are you kidding me? After all I've done for you, hooked you up, new place to live, new names, new clothes, new food. You won't do this little thing for me? Nebuchadnezzar, man, it ain't even close. Because, see, we ain't been eating your food. We didn't cross that bridge way back there. See, if you start eating the food, it's tough to go back. Some of you guys making choices, it's tough to go back. You make choices, and it erodes your foundation. You get to the bigger choice, and you got nothing to stand on. Can I get a witness on this? The Lord would send those challenges to expose those choices. See, people, and it's kind of like you built a house of cards, right? And you build it up, and you build it up, and it falls down. And what you see kids doing this, right? And what do they do when it falls down? They get frustrated and do what? Start building again. And then what happens? It falls down again. How many of you guys build houses of cards now? Now? See, I learned. Dude, every time it's going to fall down, I ain't wasting my time on no house of cards. That's why the Lord sends challenges to your life, because he's going to show you where you're exposed. He's going to show you where you collapse so that you don't build like that anymore. Your choices are going to come back on you. And I'm hoping that you choose truth. I'm hoping that you make better choices the second time around. Am I talking to anybody here? He says, is it true? I guess I'll give you guys another chance. I'm going to strike up the band again. You guys just bow down and we'll just pretend like this thing never happened. The devil will come, give you a second chance, folks. Give you an opportunity to grab onto him. And remember, that furnace is just blasting. See the furnace guy? I think you want to bow. We all got choices to make. Little choices make the foundation for bigger choices. God brought this choice to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They already knew who he was. All them other Jews that were bound down, they didn't know. Nebuchadnezzar knew, but he wasn't getting it. How do we know? By their choices. God brings choices to us. God brings challenges to us because he gives us an opportunity to grab onto him. Went to Bible college. There was a guy there who had gone through Teen Challenge. Carlos has gone through Teen Challenge, went through the Ministry Institute. He was on the East Coast, though. Gone through 2 years of Teen Challenge and wanted to come to Bethany Bible College, where I was going to Bible college, for their brand new drug and counseling rehab program. He was the first student to come out of Teen Challenge to go to that program. And we were radically sold out, fired up. It was cool hanging. I mean, he had a passenger. He used to run machine guns and meth with the Hells Angels in Utah. And we'd hang out. He's an old guy, kind of, maybe he's not as old as me, but almost as old. And talk about just the foolish stuff that we would do and all that kind of stuff and how God had delivered us. And he had some kids from past life that were in Utah. And he went back to Utah to visit them at Christmas time. And he was 2 weeks late coming back to school. That wasn't good. And he used to run with the cooks that would cook in the lab. And he said, yeah, it didn't go good when I was back home. You know, because he got with some of the cooks and he said, give me some. I said, no way, Cliff, man, you've been straight for 3 years, bro. Said, I lied to him. He said, I've been faking all along. I've been using all along. And they hooked me up. He came back 2 weeks late, left early, and never heard from Cliff again. Choices. We can make choices that have immediate victory. We can make choices that have immediate defeat. Big choices, little choices. Your little choices are going to set you up for the big choices and to let you come through or fail on the big challenges. Amen? All right, point number three. Living with the truth is often a challenge. Have you found that to be true? Have you found that to be true? Have you found that to be true? Some of you guys, I guess, just have not found that to be true yet. I'm trying to get the ones that have to be a little bit more vocal. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, this is the king. There's the burning furnace right there. There's all the satraps, satraps, and all them people all around. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, and there is his guard right there. We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. That's not, man. You got all the army around you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve will save us, is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. And guess what? The choice that they're going to make has all of a sudden become a giant challenge in their lives. Amen? So they can just make it go away. No problem, King. Here you go. Right there. Is that good enough for you? Oh, no. We're walking right here. No. Nebuchadnezzar. Our God can save us. Even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to your gods. We're not going to bow to the image that you've got. We're not going to bow to you either. Nebuchadnezzar is ticked. Nebuchadnezzar is not used to this. They're not going to bow. We're not going to bow to you. That's not what we do. They got an anchor in their lives. And their anchor will not permit them to slide on this issue. If you have an anchor in your life, there are issues that you are not supposed to be sliding on. Can I get a witness on that? See, how come they can do this? How come this young girl is going to come here and speak on Thursday can go to the Middle East? And we're bombing Libya, man. How can this little, we got guys going over there, they got better trucks and armor and all this stuff all geared up. There's a little 24-year-old girl going over there to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, step into a bunch of Muslim men, you're going to need some protection. Can I get a witness? She is walking into the enemy's camp. How could she do that? How could Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do that? They had experienced God. They could look at their lives and they could see the hand of God. They could look at their lives and see the power of God revealed. Back in chapter 2 of Daniel, the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, they were praying and fasting all night long. God, our heads are going to be cut off. We need you to come through. And God comes through. Thomas experienced the Holy Spirit on Wednesday night. Nat experienced the Holy Spirit on Wednesday night. You feel different about teaching now? You feel different about teaching? It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? Reverend Marsh preached last week. I was bummed. Because I tell you what, starting on Thursday, I started looking at this word. I start baking this message, man. Come Friday, I'm just thinking about it. Saturday night. I rewrote this thing 3 times. It's getting finer and finer and finer. I had this whole tie-up with Revelation chapter 13. Got to get rid of that stuff. To stand and experience the Holy Spirit is the... Who taught? Did you teach yesterday, Rope? Was it the experience of the presence of God? Always. It's like, oh, yeah, I want to. I want to step into the presence of God. I want to be used in a mighty way. That's what happened in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life. Once you experience God in that mighty way, you are transformed and there is no going back. As you look at your life, I'm wondering, do you see the power of God? Do you see the hand of God revealed as you move? Or do you just see your hand? Or do you just see your power? See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going, Nebuchadnezzar, king, great king, our God's in control of this. Our God's in control of our lives, of your life, of this situation, of this whole planet. And we can't kneel down to your idol because we know that he's in control of this planet. And that's truth. God is able to save us, and even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. There's a truth there, folks. Kind of using up my time. God is able to rescue, but he doesn't always. We don't worship God. I mean, I tell you what, the church is filled with people who worship God because of the rescue. They worship God for a rescue. And our God is able to rescue. Amen? But he says, he might not. And we're still serving him. Why? Because he is worthy of our worship, because he is real and true, and that is truth, and we cannot deny the truth. Grab onto your lie, even just to get along. We have an anchor in our lives. Our God is a miracle-working God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses, of Joseph. He does miracle after miracle after miracle, and we are transformed. We can read about the great fathers of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. God doing mighty, miraculous things. But there are also those that God did not rescue. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36 and 37. Some faith, he's talking about the people in heaven. Some faith, Christians faced jeers and flogging. Whipping. Flogging is whipping until you're dead or close to death. They flogged our Lord Jesus Christ. 39 lashes. Oftentimes after a flogging, internal organs and bone would be visible. That's flogging. While others were chained and put in prison, they were stoned, they were sawed in two. I don't have to paint a picture of that, do I? They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And there's not a lot of people that worship the Lord for their mistreatment, for having them go around in goatskins, destitute and in poverty. But once you've experienced him and his power, and you tie that power to truth, you will be transformed. And you can never go back. He said, even if he doesn't save us, we're not going to bow to your gods or to your idol. There are many who have given their all in the service to the Lord. None of them, I don't think. I would wager, I would be confident of that not one of them is sitting in the presence of the Lord going, well, I messed up. No. Give your all in the service to the Lord, and it is a promotion. Sister Cooper got promoted. Glory to God. Doing all kinds of struggle around here. Going to honor her memory and all that kind of stuff. She's going, honey, don't even worry about that. Come on up. That met my Savior. And all the sacrifice is worth it. All right, am I going too long? That sounds yes. Okay, let's go. Last one. God's going to meet you in the challenge. God's going to meet you in the challenge. Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet. He had the guys tied up. They had bellows on the furnace. It's like a big old, like the wood-fired pizza stoves, big one. And it had bellows and heated up seven times what the normal heat was. Had them tied up. They were in clothes and hats and all that kind of stuff. Had his guards carry him up and throw him in the fire. And the fire was so hot that the guards died. The Bible says that they fell into the furnace because the guys who were going to push them in were dead. Okay? All right? They fall into the furnace, and King Nebuchadnezzar leaps to his feet in amazement and asks his advisors, weren't there three men? Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. And he said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the son of the gods. And Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Amen. Come out! Come here! And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Walking around in the furnace. Walking around in a pizza oven. Clothes were fine. But their ties were burned off. How about they're not dead? They're not dead. How does this work? I'll tell you, see, you step into the miracle of God, and all of a sudden stuff just doesn't start adding up. It's like, wait a minute, how do their ties get burned up and their clothes are fine? Dude, how are they alive? How are they not burned up? It says that they were, you know, I think that the Bible might be, I don't know if I dare say wrong here. says that they were walking around. I don't think they were walking around. I think they were dancing in that furnace. Can I get away? I think there was a celebration. Woohoo! Glory to God! Yeah! Slam Shadrach! Slam Meshach! Abednego! Yeah! Our God is able. Our God is good. Woohoo! I think there was worship going on in the middle of that furnace. Can I get a witness on that? I think Nebuchadnezzar saw and said, yo, Shadrach, hey, calm down in there, guys. Can you come out? You know what? I don't know if I would have wanted to come out. I don't know. In the midst of the miracle of God, say, we'll be with you in a minute, King. We got something a little bit more important going on right now. What's Nebuchadnezzar going to do? Get out of here right now. Like, what are you going to do, throw us in a furnace? Fired up 8 times hotter, 9 times hotter. We are good. We're in a 10. God comes through again. See, it was not the first time in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's lives. They had received the message of God. I am your Savior. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a miracle-working God. And Nebuchadnezzar gets the message. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. Nebuchadnezzar is blown away. He gets the message. He's still working on figuring it out. We're going to see next week more challenges coming to Nebuchadnezzar because he's getting the message, but he's not making the right choices. My question for you today, are you making the right choice? Are you getting the message? See, Jesus says, I have come to set the captive free. Jesus says that I have come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What do you do with that message? What is your response to that message? What is your choice in response to that message? Some of you I have talked about today, and some of you are just going, God is good. I feel like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I am worshiping him. I am celebrating him. I am experiencing him in my daily life. I move choice to choice to choice. I move from challenge to challenge to challenge, and I'm knowing God in a better and stronger way day by day. You want to know him better? Step out of your comfort zone. There are so many opportunities around here for you to become involved in. There are ministries that we need to be about doing. The Lord put it right on your shoulders. Oh, I'm scared. Good. When you're weak, God is strong. Amen? Some of you are not making good choices. Lisa, you can come up here and play for a minute. Some of your choices are moving you into the wrong direction. And you move from weakness to weakness to weakness. Your life is like a house of cards, and you build it up and build it up. And you know what? They're small choices. They're little things. God doesn't really care about that. God doesn't really care about that. And you know what? He might not. But those choices are not leading you anywhere. They're not building you a foundation. They're not getting you stronger so that when the big choice and the big challenge comes, that you can persevere, that you can overcome, that you can move through those choices into victory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Some of you are here today and you are crushed. You have made